Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 49 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. The Barclays ATP World Tour Finals in London concluded this past weekend, capping off a year on the ATP Tour that can best be described as a year of two halves. Novak Djokovic dominated the first half, while Andy Murray finished with a furious flurry to dominate the second half. In the end, Murray held on and finished 2016 as the number one ranked player, beating Djokovic in the finals of the year-end finale. And what an incredible 2016 it's been for Murray, who in early November became the first ever singles player from the UK to be ranked number one since computerized rankings were introduced in 1973. As torrid as Djokovic's start was to 2016, Murray's overall body of work throughout the year, including his strong finishing kick to the year-end, was equally, if not more, impressive. Murray ended the year in style, winning his last 24 matches and 5 consecutive titles. For the year, Murray won a career-best 9 titles, including his second Wimbledon singles title and third overall major, 3 Masters 1000 Series events, and oh, by the way, he also won a gold medal in Rio. When you consider that Djokovic had a seemingly insurmountable 8,000-point lead in June after winning the French Open, it makes you appreciate Murray's climb to number one even more. Looking ahead at 2017, Murray will have to fend off challenges from all comers, past and present major champions and contenders, as well as a core of next generation or future champions. Now look, I believe we're going to see Djokovic re-energized and hungry to reclaim the top spot after a much-needed year-end break. Murray will also be renewing a couple of old rivalries next year with the much-anticipated returns of Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, both of whom had their 2016 seasons cut short due to injury. And let's not forget about the always dangerous Stan Wawrinka, the reigning U.S. Open champion. Stan now has 3 career Grand Slam singles titles and is only a Wimbledon title away from joining the elite 8 men who have completed the career Grand Slam. There will also be a healthier Juan Martín Del Potro to look forward to in 2017. The ATP Comeback Player of the Year for 2016, Del Potro returned to the tour in the middle of the year after a lengthy rehab from yet another wrist surgery. Now, Del Potro, the 2009 U.S. Open champion, reminded everyone he is still capable of beating anyone at any time. He won a silver medal in Rio, defeating Djokovic and Nadal along the way. And then in September, in the Davis Cup semifinal against Great Britain, he defeated Andy Murray in an epic 5-setter to help Argentina advance to the finals against Croatia. Del Potro actually is only one of 2 players, the other being Marin Cilic, to have defeated both Murray and Djokovic this year. Now, as great as it will be to have Federer and Nadal back in the fold in 2017, along with Wawrinka, Del Potro, and other top contenders, Murray's main competition is expected to come from Djokovic, period. As I've talked about in previous podcasts, Federer is 35 years old and he's on the backside of his career, and we certainly can marvel at how he continues to find ways to compete at the elite level. The problem is we really don't know what to expect from Federer when he does return to action in 2017. Nadal is also on the backside of his awesome career, even though Nadal is only 30 years old. His brutally physical brand of tennis has taken its toll in recent years with injuries and time missed on tour seemingly mounting every year. Similar to Federer, we're not quite sure what kind of tennis Nadal is going to be capable of producing in 2017. Rafa's quickness around the court and overall mobility are what have noticeably declined in recent years. I mean, he can no longer effectively play from the backhand corner of the court to hit those forehands. You know, I've talked about this in podcast 3. Nadal is going to have to make some adjustments to his game if he is going to be a viable top-shelf contender. So it remains to be seen just how much Federer and Nadal have left in their respective tanks. All we can do as fans is root for these great champions and hope they can make another run at the majors in 2017. As for Djokovic, through the first 2 majors of 2016, gosh, he looked virtually invincible, By early June, Djokovic had won 6 titles, including the first 2 Grand Slams of the year, 3 Masters 1000 events, and he held a staggering 8,000-point lead over the number 2 ranked player. But after winning his first French Open, finally, and becoming only the 8th man to have won the career Grand Slam, Djokovic's game dropped a notch or two, perhaps due to some mental fatigue and some nagging injuries, in particular to his wrist and elbow. And it seemed to impact him a little bit, at least through most of the remainder of the year. So with a few weeks break from the tour before his 2017 season kicks off, I expect Djokovic to be physically, mentally, and emotionally recharged and ready to play up to the standard he's displayed over the past several years. As for some of the other top 10 players, such as Raonic, Wawrinka, Nishikori, Cilic, Monfils, Thiem, and Berdych, only Wawrinka and Cilic can call themselves Grand Slam singles champions. As I mentioned, Wawrinka has 3 majors, the Australian, French, and U.S. Opens, and Cilic has the lone U.S. Open title he won in 2014. You know, Wawrinka's got the power game to beat anyone on the big stages. The key for him is whether he can continue to give himself enough opportunities at the majors and other big tournaments by getting through to the semis and finals of these tournaments more consistently. Cilic is capable of producing some jaw-dropping tennis as well, but he's not been able to do it consistently since his run at the U.S. Open in 2014. Now, if I had to pick a potential first-time major winner in 2017 from the group of top contenders, I'd probably go with Raonic, Thiem, or Kyrgios. You know, I've talked about all 3 players in previous podcasts, but Kyrgios to me is the one who I believe has the most natural and all-around physical game to win on any surface. There's no doubt about his athleticism and shot-making abilities. The question with Kyrgios is his willingness to grind and find a way to win those tough matches, sometimes early in a slam, when he is faced with some adversity and may not have his A game. But here's the thing. Despite a volatile year of emotional outbursts, suspensions, and fines for conduct contrary to the integrity of the game, Kyrgios finished 2016 ranked 13th, which was a career high. Now look, the sky's the limit for Kyrgios if he can put it all together moving forward. I definitely believe he's the one to watch. Now, there's certainly no shortage of intriguing storylines for 2017. To mention a few, there's obviously the battle for number 1 between Murray and Djokovic, who will continue to slug it out. And also perhaps a last serious run at the majors by Federer and Nadal, or a possible breakthrough at the majors by a next-generation player, Nick Kyrgios perhaps. In any event, we're waiting with great anticipation for the start of the new season. January can't arrive quickly enough. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.